So we're talking today about trying to figure out what you're going to do when you grow up. I've got Ron Fraser with me to help me on that question. April Dennis will be with us in the second hour. Likewise, she's the program director for the Future Problem Solving Program International, helping students across the globe. You stay with me. We've got a great show lined up.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Hard Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Hard Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Caps, toys to throw your money at, car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Friend, glad you're with me on this occasion when we have Ron Fraser with us here in the first hour. Hard to get this guy to come in here because, doggone it, he's busy. I mean, we're all busy, but his busyness takes him here and beyond. And as a traveler and contributor on so many fronts, man, he's... He is in high demand, and rightly so, an accomplished person from the corporate world. I forget now, he's brought several companies public, generated millions and millions of dollars in sales revenues, and, you know, in his career in those days, he was one of those people that everybody wants to be around and wants to learn from. Well, he translated that into this career as an educator, and for many years now here in Tallahassee, serving the students as a faculty member. In fact, the entrepreneur in residence at Florida State University, the School of Business, and doing a fine job there too. And some of the people that have come our way under his tutelage have reported such accomplishment. A couple of them have interned with us over the years. Others have come to talk with us as guests on the show. But in any case, Ron Fraser is one of these people who very humbly and pretty quietly goes about inspiring other people to seek the very best they can within themselves, and does so within the confines of the educational experience, we'll say, the teaching that he does. And he has a couple of courses that he teaches online with several hundred students. I want to say, I think this one course he has like 800, maybe 1,000 students enrolled. It's remarkable. And then you start to hear some of the stories of the people who've gone out from his training experiences, and they've gone out on their own, having benefited from his mentorship and his teaching to create remarkable solutions here and around the world. Among those things that he's done, he works as a consultant with the Moffitt Research Center, another one of his accolades. I've got a list of things that he's done here. Oh, yeah, he's earned a graduate degree in biodesign at Stanford University. He did all that last year. He teaches this capstone strategy course, which basically is a sort of incubator kind of thing It's designed to put students in a situation in which they have a real life or a simulated life experience in creating a business idea, bringing it to fruition, and then, you know, implementing all that. And I mentioned the Moffitt Cancer Center. There he's the executive in residence. He's a mentor at the Alchemist Accelerator in San Francisco, and he was named the Accelerator Superstar of the Year by VentureBeat. This guy's the real deal, friend. I'm telling you. Over the span of 20 years, he served as Division Executive Vice President for three different global technology companies. He built on his experience in the nuclear power and financial services industries. Then in 89, he joined a small IT consulting group that subsequently grew to over $1 billion in revenue. So, when you want to talk with somebody who has been there, done those things that are noteworthy in the world of business and education, well, Ron Fraser's your guy. And he's our guy here in this first hour of the show. We'll talk with him about what's going on when all of us think in terms of either ourselves or perhaps our children or friends of ours who are at that point in life where they're maybe they're on the entry level, a college-aged person who is trying to figure out what they're going to do with themselves, or maybe it's some old guy like me trying to reinvent and repurpose and then decide, okay, how do I move from point A to point B when, I mean, at this point in life, you know, you tend to have a few more commitments than you had when you were 20. It happens. So Ron is going to be with us, and that'll be a great conversation. Looking forward to that. In the second hour, I have to follow up by telling you that April Dennis will be with us. Now, she's not in studio, so we'll have her call in here to talk with us about Future Problem Solving Program International, FPSPI, a remarkable program which is really all about teaching students how to solve problems, not particularly the problem at hand that they might have to confront, but rather when you're confronted with any problem in life, particularly of a global nature, that is to say, one of that magnitude, you know, like, I don't know, managing the world's resources, energy, food, population, or protecting the environment from overdevelopment, or working through social problems. How do you get from a place of conflict to a place of resolution? How do you create a solution that benefits the most people for the greatest length of time? Well, that's the work of this Future Problem-Solving Program that April Dennis has been a part of now since 2012. She'll be with us to tell us all about it. It started back in 1974, I think she said. So it has a pretty long history, and her involvement is based in her love of education, especially elementary education, and the working with gifted students over the years. I think you're going to enjoy getting to know her a little bit. April Dennis, calling us here shortly out of Melbourne. So those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to right with you. I've got, of course, Miriam Dady is going to be in the business spotlight here coming up in just a moment. And she's got a young entrepreneurial type person with her. We'll learn about her business, and that's kind of cool. If, by the way, if you are that person who is in business for yourself and would like to bring that to our attention, it's a simple thing. We provide this business spotlight for you as a courtesy. So it never costs the business owner anything other than some time. And we'd love to have you come tell us about what you're doing and why. We call it our business spotlight, and our dear friend Miriam Dady, your faithful host there, will just take you in hand, and you'll be talking to thousands and thousands of people across our audience every week. You, who are listening. And again, thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us. If you want to email us, you can always go to topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Love to hear from you as to a particular guest you'd like us to talk with, or a topic that you'd like us to consider. That's a great way to do it. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're there for you. You can find us online. TallahasseeTalks.com is the website. And we've got everything set up and ready to go. You can subscribe to the podcast there. You can archive or go to the archive section and listen to any of the shows that we've provided you over the many years. Now in our 7th season, it's a wonderful thing. Looking forward to having you with us through the hour. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at VolcarTally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
My name is Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I'm excited to have a friend here in the studio with me, but usually even strangers become my friend. But this is a special friend. Christina Holm is here. And she is offering a brand new service in our area called CapTel. Christina, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to spread the word about CapTel. It is such an amazing opportunity.
I'm confused. How does this would tell our audience what this does?
Yeah.
Between the receiver on my phone and what happens on a screen. Tell me about it.
So what CapTel is it's a captioned telephone. So it's just like a traditional home phone. It has a handset, and then in the base, there's a screen. And on that screen, it writes out word for word what the caller's saying. So it's designed for people that have trouble hearing on the phone. So the handset is amplified, it's louder, which assists in being able to hear, but then they're able to read whatever they might miss on the screen. And the very best part about it is it's completely free.
Wonderful. So people who have hearing loss, or people who have just given up answering the phone, having a phone, they can contact you. You come out. What would you do? Would you interview them, see if it's really necessary, help them fill out the paperwork and install it?
Yeah, it's a really simple process to get them the phone. It's a single one-page form. It gets signed by an audiologist or whoever they get their hearing aids from, even a primary care physician. And once they get that filled out, I personally come out, I bring them the phone, I install it for them, I connect it to the two things that they need, which is a home phone line and internet.
Okay.
And I connect it, set it up, and I spend a good 45 minutes to an hour with them, letting them get comfortable with the phone and the technology. And there's different models. Some people are more comfortable with a touchscreen model, which we have, and some people want a more traditional model, which we also have, that's big buttons and, you know, very easy to use, just like a traditional phone.
I want a rotating dial.
Yeah.
That's kind of gone the way of the buggy whip, hasn't it?
Yep, that's pretty long gone now.
Wow. Okay, so how does CapTel understand somebody like my relatives who might say something like, y'all come and y'all bring everybody and your mama? Is it going to actually understand yeah. a Southerner's dialect?
The very cool thing about it is it's not like when you're using your iPhone and Siri is getting you all confused. It's actually a modified voice recognition software. So it is 98% accurate. Our company actually created this software and it does such a fantastic job. It even will say, like, if I'm laughing, it'll say in parentheses laughing, which is so amazing for people that have a hard time hearing, because if you're just reading what the person's saying, let's say it's, you know, a grandparent and they're talking to their grandchild who, you know, has kids in the background, that's part of the conversation and right. what makes it meaningful. So if there's a baby crying or a dog barking in the background, you know, they'll get to pick up on the whole essence of the conversation and really... It gives them everything that they're not able to hear.
That is cool. So when it rings in mm-hmm. a room, since they're hearing impaired, does it light up?
Mm-hmm.
How would it?
It does.
Okay.
It does. It flashes. It has lights that we can have come on. And it also, there's a lot of settings that you can do, because most people that have hearing loss, they struggle with a different tone. So some people hear uh-huh. low tones versus high tones. Some people struggle with the pitch of the ring, especially if they have hearing aids. Sometimes those high-pitched sounds are very, very hard on their ears.
Yes.
So part of the installation process when I personally come out is that we adjust all of those settings to make it the easiest for them to hear. And that ringer can get nice and loud.
Well, let's pretend that there are listeners in the five counties around. Or you tell me what the mm-hmm. region is. How far can you reach?
I, of course, do the greater Tallahassee area. Yes. I go out west to the Quincy area.
Okay.
I go all the way as south as Perry. I'm looking to move into Gainesville eventually.
Oh, so really?
Yeah, very big.
Open.
And then I do all of South Georgia as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was my next question, mm-hmm. if you did South Georgia.
I do.
If there are people with elderly parents mm-hmm. that are listening now and they think, I thought I had to pay for it. Let's say they want to go through the qualification process for mm-hmm. their parents or their aunts and uncles. What's their next step? Do they call you?
They can absolutely call me. My number is 850-544-0227, and that is my work cell. I have it on me 7 days a week, so people can call me anytime. I can email or mail them the form.
Say it once again.
I will. It's 850-544-0227.
You speak like someone who is used to speaking to people who are hard of hearing. Thank you.
Yeah, it's important to not overdo it, but not to go too quickly.
Distinguish those words.
Articulate.
That's right. That's good. So they could reach out to you.
Yes. They could also go on our website, and
okay.
there is a place that they can click on to contact a local rep. So uh-huh. if people are sitting in the office and they just want to get this done real quickly, they can go on to captel.com, which is CAPTEL.com. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a button right there on the homepage that says contact your local rep. And they just put in the area that their family member is in, or friends or anyone that they know that could use this phone. And our corporate office will then contact me directly.
And there's no cost.
There is no cost. It is federally funded under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it?
It's a huge need.
Absolutely. And so many people don't even know it's available.
Well, being hard of hearing is such an isolating thing.
Oh, it is. It is. And especially, you know, around Tallahassee, there's a lot of rural areas where people can't just drop by and visit. So talking on the phone is the main way that people can communicate with their friends and family.
Yes.
So they don't have to drive 20 miles to, you know, go into town and visit with someone. So it is such a huge blessing to the... I've had so many great stories of, you know, clients that have been just overwhelmed when they get their phone and they start getting to use it.
So they need a home telephone line. They need internet.
Yes.
So if they don't already have internet, they either need to add it to their service. Does it matter if it's DSL or broadband?
No, we can work with all of those options. Yep. Okay. As long as they have a working internet in their home.
Yep. Then they can get the service.
Absolutely.
That is such a blessing. I can't tell you, Christina, what a fascinating, good element of technology this is. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you being here. I hope that everybody in Tallahassee and the surrounding area will reach out to Christina. It's CapTel. Is it CapTel.com?
It is CapTel.com.
CapTel, like caption and telephone put together. CapTel.com. Ask for the local rep, and you're going to talk to Christina soon. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Miriam.
I appreciate everybody listening. Please reach out to Christina. This is Miriam Dady for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Thank you.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For many years, it has been my pleasure, personally, professionally, to know this young man in his contributions to the world of academia and business, both small business and corporate, national, international interests. And without embarrassing too much, it would be a fair statement. He has contributed sizably to the success of individuals as well as businesses in his career. And he's kind enough to take a pause, just take a little bit of time out and sit here with the moose and talk about some of his travels and his adventures and some of his academic interests and the number of students that he continues to serve. He is the entrepreneur in residence at Florida State University. He's teaching a couple of courses there. We're going to find out all about that and where in the world has he been lately. I think Austin is on that list. We'll find out. We have with us this morning Ron Frazier. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Brian? And by the way, happy belated birthday.
Blessings on you too, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. 62 years as of last Friday, so I'm blessed to say I'm still among the living, and I get to have conversations with my good buddy Ron Frazier, so that's a birthday present. I tried to get you in last week, and we just couldn't make that come together, but here you are.
And looking forward to it.
Thank you for those greetings. Tell us about the two courses, first of all, that you do offer.
Okay, so I teach the capstone class in the College of Business, and it is a business simulation class. So it really ties together everything that you learned within the College of Business. So the operations side of the house, the management side of the house, the marketing, the finance, the total quality management, this business simulation goes through that. And students go through about, you put in your decisions for a year, and then you run the model, and then you get the results of your business. They do that about 18 times, and then they take a comprehensive test. Probably what we're proudest of is that we have, you would assume there's about 100,000 college students across the globe take this exam, and you'd assume our students would be maybe 50 percentile or a little bit better, but our students are coming in about above 70 and pretty close to the 75th percentile. Wow. So very, very bright group of students
and very accomplished in that way. Testing out well, especially,
and a wonderful thing to, and we have some recognition programs, and it's a wonderful thing to say that I would, of 100,000 college business seniors tested, I finished in the top 2%, or I finished in the top 5%. It's really a way to distinguish particularly a young person's resume, so that's very exciting.
It is cool. And in that capacity, this is a working lab in many respects, isn't it? It's a matter of them making real-time decisions and then having to live with them and seeing how those play out over time.
Yeah, and some of them really enjoy that, and some of them are not quite as happy with the ambiguity of, particularly making your sales forecast and the implications of if you end up with too much inventory, that's painful, and if you don't end up with enough inventory, that's painful. But that's a very real-world scenario. So yeah,
indeed it is. And it fits in with the kinds of conversations we've had of late with people like Vincent Hunt and Francely Moyes. A little later in the show, April Dennis, she is the program director for this Future Problem Solving Program International. And the whole notion there to do just exactly what you're doing with your students and saying, hey, you know what, boys and girls, this is real world. Students have seen as many failures, maybe more failures, than you've seen success. Would you say that's true in your own professional life, that you've had to take the bad times right along with the good times?
Yeah, I think a lot of that ties into I just got lucky. I'm somewhat infamous for saying as an undergrad that I didn't want to have anything to do with computers or sales. I didn't care what I did when I grew up. I just didn't want to have anything to do with computers and sales, and that was the start of my 20-year career, eventually rising to executive vice president of sales for a computer consulting company. So,
be careful what you say.
Be careful what you say you're never going to do. That's true both as a parent as well as an employee.
So, indeed. Yeah. But in the course of having done so, it's put you in touch with some remarkable people across the globe. And we've talked a little bit, even you and I have talked before, about, let's call it, American culture in a world of scarcity. And as a traveler, I remember you saying this to me one time. He says, you said back to me, you said, if you go to some of the places that I have been and you see the kinds of challenges that cultures are facing, that the average person is facing, just some of the basic necessities of life, it will change the manner in which you live your life, at least in our country, because we're so enriched and we're so woefully disconnected from the way the rest of the world has to struggle. As part of the work that you do as an educator, is that in the back of your mind that you're trying to get students to see the world the way it really is, even within the confines of business, but even maybe more so, just this is how life goes? I mean, you bring that level of personal experience to their understanding, you think?
I bring that into the discussion. I also think Florida State University has a wonderful study abroad program, and
yeah. And
I think that gives them exposure to different cultures and different ideas as well.
What do you love most about the work that you're doing now? What is it that keeps you plugged in?
I came here 6 years ago. I knew from the statistics that the students were very, very bright. I think what's really been, I guess a little bit surprising to me is just how good of human beings they are. They have what tag you put to that group of who's college students these days. But they have a strong sense of right and wrong and wanting the world to be a better place. They're an admirable group to spend your time with.
And a good example of that, the group that we've been able to bring to the mic here a few times, Engineers Without Borders, would be a great mm-hmm. example, where they take it upon themselves as an adjunct organization that says we want to apply our engineering skills as students and engineers, some who have already been established as engineers, and they find worthy projects in other countries especially, but also domestically, and they go in and they build a water purification system that doesn't require any other infrastructure. It's kind of self-sustaining. The ethics, the morality, the awareness of others, you feel like that's in good supply among these students, huh?
Yeah, I think much more so than my recollection to when I, of course that was a long time ago when I was an undergraduate.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was. and I think the group that I've really come to admire is the Unconquered Scholars. So there are about 75 students on the Florida State campus that grew up homeless, grew up wards of the state, or grew up in typically multiple foster care homes. Mm-hmm. Of course, at 18, then they're out on their own with respect to foster care. Mm-hmm. There's a fabulous program, the Unconquered Scholars. It's a support program for these students. And let's take children who are in foster care. On a national average, is about 3% college graduation rate, mm-hmm. As opposed to about 27% for the general public, 27%. This group has a 90% graduation rate, and they have a goal of getting it to 100%. So these are kids that really don't have a home. They don't have anywhere to go to. So there's housing arranged for them between semesters because the dorms are closed. Mm-hmm. There's a food pantry because there's nowhere to eat once the cafeteria shuts down. There's a wonderful program on Parents Weekend where they go somewhere. So they started that a couple years ago. They went to Savannah and spent the weekend. And this last year, through some generous donations from FSU alumni and so forth, they got the opportunity to go to Disney World on Parents Weekend, because it's emotionally very distressing to be around on Parents Weekend when you don't have parents. It's a wonderful group of people. And honestly, when you meet them, you'll never meet a more cheerful, more wonderful group of young people.
I think we're working on trying to get a few of those students to come sit with us and talk about their experiences. So that's up ahead for us. I am so pleased that you're here today. Folks, we have Ron Frazier with us. He is the entrepreneur in residence at Florida State University, an accomplished educator, an entrepreneur in his own right. The list goes on. We won't talk about his football career. He's asked me not to mention football, so we're going to let that pass. We do want to find out where you've been of late. I think you were out in Austin, and I think you're heading out to Burning Man. So we're going to take a quick break here, folks. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a national day of remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day, giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy. For comprehensive family dentistry, call 875-3908. Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast. For the best design ideas and the highest quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring, call 656-8453. And Tallahassee Family Magazine, available at local newsstands and bookstores and online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Ron Frazier. Talking about educational models, talking about educational opportunities, especially for those at the collegiate level and beyond. You've had some remarkable success stories come back to you from some of the people that you've had the pleasure of working with. And I recall this one story you were telling me about the fellow who ended up having to kind of rethink what he really wanted to do with himself. Tell us about that guy.
Okay, so Vince graduated in 2014, if I remember correctly, degree in finance, under minor in computer science. Thought he really wanted to get into big data and analytics and artificial intelligence. Went to Austin, spent about a year there. Figured out that was a bunch of math and statistics. That isn't what he wanted to do. Got a group of mentors together, had some discussions, moved to Santa Monica, California, and started a virtual reality advertising company. Now that's 2015. Since 2015, he's raised $10.5 million in capital. Has a beautiful facility right in downtown Santa Monica. It's about a block from the beach.
And that didn't come cheap.
That didn't come cheap, no. Mm-hmm. He was recognized at the end of the last year, the end of 2016, as one of the Forbes 30 Under 30 in marketing and advertising. Right. The company's called Vertebra.io.
Remarkable.
I happened to meet him a couple years ago at South by Southwest in Austin. He came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Didn't you used to teach at FSU?" And I said, "Well, I still do." And he said, "Oh, I'm Vince." And this is, anyway, to make a long story short, we cut out of a couple of sessions of a wonderful conference and sat and talked about his background. But what an incredible success story, just because he found what he really wanted to do in life. And that's been part of what I'm trying to make a contribution to. And you mentioned the other class that I'm involved in is called Entrepreneurial Technologies. And basically we want to divide the class up into three pieces. So the first piece of the class, we're going to talk about how do you go about learning a new technology? How do you make those connections with the experts so that you can get up to speed quickly? The second piece of the class, then, we will go through probably with virtual reality, and we will talk about getting up to speed on that technology and building. Yeah. And then the third piece, then, you pick a technology you think might be of interest to you. All right, so fintech, synthetic biology, artificial intelligence, whatever you think you really want to dig into, and go use the techniques we've been through. Now go write a paper and make some contacts in that and see if that's really what you want to do or not. And I really base a lot of that on, there's a wonderful TED Talk called something along the lines of why you won't be successful in your career. The gentleman that gave it was Larry Smith, and he's up at the University of Waterloo in Canada. And it's basically, hey, as he's telling those students, and as I tell students at FSU, you're all smart enough to do whatever you want to do in this world, right? By the fact that you're here at FSU.
Right.
You're all hard enough working, because you wouldn't get through FSU if you weren't hard working. So really, what is the differentiation between those who are highly successful and do what they want to do and perhaps the others? And a lot of it has to do with just figuring out what you want to do. Because this, particularly this younger generation, once they figure out what they want to do, then you do get out of their way. In a couple of months, they know more about it than you do, Brian.
What do they have to do as individuals, do you think, to come to that? Or is that different for every single one?
I think you got to spend some time looking and exploring, right? And really, our purpose is to open up some pathways so that you can expand those horizons. Because, you know, typically, because I talk to a lot of the seniors in the College of Business, and a lot of them have a really good plan. They've built up their resume, but some others are still struggling with what is it I want to do, or how well this is what mom and dad did, or this is what mom and dad recommended I did. Every once in a while they say, oh, can you talk to my mom and dad and tell me I shouldn't go to law school? And I'm like, no, that is not my job in any way, shape, or form. But I think back to my dad, and I remember one morning he was getting ready to go to work, I was getting ready to go to school, and we pulled up on top of the interstate, and he parked the car and said, well, we're going to be a little late today. And he goes, now, what do all these people do that are running, shooting down this interstate on the... And of course, I had no answer whatsoever. Fortunately, he finally...
Driving?
Yeah, driving. there, I said I had Brian with me, and then I went and had an answer. But the truth of the matter was, he said, well, nobody knows, right? And so, you know, there's a wonderful world of opportunities out there, but you got to figure out which one works for you. And so I think the more exposure we can get to these young people, and that's one of the reasons I have a real interest in virtual reality, and specifically virtual reality as it applies to what is it to be a doctor all every day? What is it to be a lawyer? What is it to be an entrepreneur?
We're skating to where the puck is going to be, but we don't know exactly what that's going to be, what it's going to look like.
But we know for this generation that there's really no growth. Doug Tatum, who's also an entrepreneur in residence, has been tracking it for 20 years. There's no growth in these big companies, right?
Yeah.
And it's in these small $5 to $25 million companies that there is growth, right? So they've got to target those jobs. And as you well know, we both run small businesses. Yeah. You wear a lot of different hats every day when you run a small business, and you wear the hat you got to wear at any particular point in time, whether that's your expertise or not. Sometimes you do that. But we want to target those. So Doug is working on a program called the Consultant in a Box, right? Which is, how do we get these students experience? So my part of the equation is, okay, let's get you exposure to a lot of different technologies and figure out, hey, I think this is the one I want to be involved in. And then now let's get you an internship or get you some true experience in that. And so Doug has put a lot of thought into this, and he come up with the idea of what these students are really good at across the board is going out and Google searching and finding digital data. And as you know, as an entrepreneur, and we've had enough discussions, I know you feel that way.
Yep.
There's enough going on that you would love to be studying. There just isn't time in the day to do it. So why don't you bring in a young person from FSU, anybody here, run a business in Tallahassee or any FSU alumni, running a business. You know, you've got a list of things you'd love to be researching. You just don't have the time, and you don't want to pull any of your existing resources off to do that. Why not bring one of these people in there, tell them exactly what, you know, give them a sense of what it is, the data you want to capture, and turn them loose, and hopefully they'll do a dynamite job for you. So we're doing that on an experimental basis this summer, and then plan on having a course in the fall where we do that.
You know, it strikes me that in the current climate, we'll say, for the country, for our country, and the political climate particularly, and what we've seen displayed over the last 24 months roughly, this notion that we're gonna recapture those manufacturing jobs, we're gonna bring factories back, or keep them from leaving. The question bugs me, because I think about those people. I think we may be guilty of promising him something that we just can't.
Yeah, and I read a study recently that and of course I might have been a little tilted, but because the author's intent, but the concept was that one robot can outwork 20 people, Okay, so
yeah.
So I think there's also an issue. If you're going to bring the bring these opportunities back, it's going to be a lot of it's going to be done by robots. So,
my friend, I tell you, this has been enjoyable for me. It's good to have you back.
Likewise.
With us. Good success to you in your continued endeavors. You know, hopefully you get a break somewhere along the line, and it'll actually pay off for you once you find out what it is that you really want to do.
Yeah, what I want to be when I grow up. My mother keeps asking me.
And then there's the whole Burning Man thing coming up. God bless you, man. We look forward to the report on that experience. But at any time that you've got more to share with us, you're always welcome here. We loved having you back.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
Yes, sir. Ron Frazier, my friend, who is a good guy to know, and you learn a lot just in a few minutes, all of his adventures and travels and the students that he's worked with for so many years, his success in the corporate world, entrepreneur in residence there at Florida State University, teaching these online courses, just trying to help a few people along the way figure out what they want to do when they grow up. So, again, our guest, Ron Frazier. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out to trucks. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back in the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the show that Rick Oppenheim loves so much. And we love you too, Rick. We really do. Just saying. And one of the things Rick said to me was, he said, "Brian, I love your show. One thing I don't like about it is it's not on every day of the week." Well, there you go. Oh, as if you can't get enough of the moose. See, I don't know about that. I think you get just about enough with me once a week. You know, I mean, it's like chocolate. You know, you love chocolate, but you got to be careful. You have to take it in small quantities. That's kind of how it goes. But anyway, thank you, Rick, for your ongoing, always appreciated words of encouragement. And I'm encouraged. I'm delightfully encouraged with so many things going on around this town that we see happening. We had Jesse Lynn with us last week talking about the pavilion at the center of Tallahassee. What a marvelous contribution that is to our well-being. And you talk to people who've been attending some of these concerts like Willie Nelson and Steve Miller and Alice Cooper. I mean, they've had such a great lineup. Well, Jesse's the guy that does that. It hasn't even been a week, and we had this horrible news coming from Birmingham that the man who was their visionary, Alex Baker, the man who most people within the company referred to as Papa Smurf. I mean, he was the man who everybody loved, who brought energy to everything they did. He passed away on Mother's Day. Now just 6 days ago. In fact, the funeral, I believe, funeral services were yesterday in Birmingham. So it's a very sad comment, and we are all in shock, I think. Certainly the people in the company and those associated with the company, our prayers have been with all of those folks through the week. This is a very, very tough thing for them, given the principal role that Alex played in this company and the great person that he was for all of those people that worked with him. He's a guy who came from poverty, worked in a sawmill as a kid, had nothing, and was quoted as saying that at the pavilion, he never wanted to have box seats, sky boxes, or special seating for anybody, because he never wanted a kid to have to look at his mom or dad and say, how come I can't sit there? You know, his idea was it was always about the music, not about privilege. And I think the plan is that they're going to reserve a seat, which was his seat. Anytime he was there watching from the audience side, some performer, he had this favorite seat that was his. And my notion is that they're going to reserve that indefinitely for our good friend Alex Baker. Heartfelt prayers for all of you who have been affected by it directly, and certainly a loss to us as a community. The good news is, and there's good news, people involved with this project, the Center of Tallahassee, are resolute in their determination. And in fact, there's been even a restatement of their determination to go forward and to complete the vision that was Alex Baker's vision for us. Well, my friend, I'll tell you there's some other very important news going on in the context of our conversations today about education and young people, students particularly. A few things to announce for you. This comes by way of Leon County. Let's see here. Is this Leon County? Yes. This is an open house for development support and environmental management. Okay. Wasn't the one I was thinking of, but we'll go with this. Leon County invites the community to an upcoming open house Monday, May 22nd. So that'll be this coming Monday, 6 p.m. at the Development Support and Environmental Management offices located on the second floor of the Renaissance Center. They're on Macomb Street. You know where that is, in the heart of Frenchtown, where you go to pay your utility bill if that's how you like to do it. Inviting all of us here in the community to join them and learn about the recent DSEM, and again, that stands for Development Support and Environmental Management, and the upgrades that the county is performing and has performed, including improved customer service, online permitting, newly renovated welcome area, all those kinds of things to make it easier for us, better for us to do business with Leon County. Here's a great celebration of the Capital City Rowing Group. Two women's boats from Capital City Rowing will be heading next month to the Youth National Rowing Championships for the first time in the club's history. Yay! After impressive showings at the U.S. Rowing Southeast Youth Championship on Lake Lanier in Gainesville. And that was just this last weekend that they did that. So, congratulations to Capital City Rowing. Tallahassee Community College is inviting area high school students to attend a free week-long summer camp focused on technology. Did I say it's free? Yeah, it's free. Week-long summer camp. Technology. The camp is called A Windows View on Technology Topics and covers network cabling, computer hardware and software, technology and manufacturing, graphic design, and much, much more. Aha! Students will be actively engaged with hands-on learning during the camp. Well, that's very cool. Students must be registered by their parent or legal guardian, and you do that at eventbrite.com, and then you go to TCC Summer Camp Windows View into Technology Tickets. Just search for it. But you can go to Eventbrite and do that. Or you can go, I'm sure you can go to their website there at TCC and learn more about it. The camp will run from Monday, June 5th through Friday, June 9th. Monday through Thursday, 9 to 3. Friday, 9 to noon. That's a great thing. All right? So, here's a phone number for you. This will help. 201-8966. Email Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S-C. Carlos Torres, at tcc.fl.edu. Okay, and the number once again, 201-8966. Here's another TCC thingy. A local foundation has donated more than $26,000 to support scholarships for students with physical disabilities at Tallahassee Community College. Tony Joe Mason Foundation is the legacy of the late Tony Joe Mason, who held a doctoral degree in educational administration from FSU, worked in education throughout her adult life. So there you go. For those students with physical disabilities, a donation of $26,000 to support scholarships for these fine students. The scholarship will serve as a tribute to the vision, mission, life work, and example of Dr. Tony Joe Mason in overcoming the obstacles experienced by individuals with disabilities. You see all this good stuff going on in our town? Don't you love this? Well, we certainly do, and we're glad that you're a part of it. Love the fact that you've tuned in. Stay with me because I've got more coming up. I've got Dr. Coe coming up here in just a minute, talk with us about our optic health, taking care of our eyes. And then we'll have April Dennis with us at the other side of this second hour. Your favorite radio show every Saturday right here, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Once again, we have the very lovely Dr. Sarah Coe, who is a Florida native. Grew up here in Tallahassee, attended Leon High School, graduate from Leon High. Many years involved in the Tallahassee community, practicing medicine there at the lovely facility known as Eye Associates of Tallahassee, along with her colleagues, providing treatment for various ocular diseases, among them, including glaucoma. Today's topic is cataracts. So we brought her back to bring us up to date on the latest in treatment for cataracts. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So cataracts in general basically amount to the cloudiness, right, that develops in the lens of the eye?
That's right.
Right?
That's
okay.
Exactly right.
Okay. So I've got that part. Okay. Are there things that we can do to prevent such things happening?
Sure. Sun exposure and smoking and diabetes, some medications like steroids, these will all make cataracts grow faster or cause you to get them sooner. But the truth is that if you live long enough, you're pretty much going to get a cataract eventually.
Really?
Yes.
It's sort of that way.
Yeah.
But with the development of that happening, then what? And tell us about the latest in treatment, I guess.
Right. So the only cure is cataract surgery.
I see.
Yeah. And you mentioned your dog. You know, we're really lucky to live here in America.
Yes.
In other parts of the world, cataracts are the number one cause of blindness.
Indeed.
And here in America, almost nobody goes blind from cataracts.
Ah, because of the availability of treatment.
That's right. Surgery takes 20 minutes. You're in and out the same day.
Wow.
And you get... I've had people... I had a woman who, before her cataracts were so bad that she could only see hand motions. She couldn't even see the big E anymore.
Wow.
The very next day, after cataract surgery, she could see her sister's face.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And the cataract surgery has advanced to the point where It's not just about taking out the cataract. A lot of times, most of the time, we can even get people out of their glasses, too, at the same time.
Really?
Because you mentioned, you know, as you very astutely pointed out, a cataract is a clouding of the natural lens inside of the eye.
Okay.
And when we get rid of the cataract, we replace it with a fresh new lens. And that lens can incorporate the power of your glasses right into it.
Awesome. So this lens that you're providing me now, is that an artificial
That's right.
substance? Oh, okay.
That's right. And it used to be, well, the way that the measurements are done for that lens, it was pretty good. 85% of people get out of their glasses.
Okay.
But I say 85% because there's 15% left, right?
Okay.
And that's because everyone's different. Let's say you have two men who are 6 feet tall. And they're still going to wear different size shirts. So you can take more measurements, like their shoulders, their waist. And now with cataract surgery, we've advanced so that we can do the measurements at the time of surgery. Oh. And we wait until the cataract is out and redo the measurement and fine-tune it. So now it's 95%
wow.
we get to our target.
That's remarkable. And I would hazard a guess here that the advancements in technology are really your best friend in
yes.
this. And that's what's reduced the amount of time and increased the amount of precision.
That's right, yes.
yes. So you're looking through this mm-hmm. high-powered microscope, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
But you're actually using surgical instruments then.
Yes. They're very fine. Mm. The incision that I make is 2.4 millimeters. So like the tip of a pen. And the cataract is broken up with phaco energy or sound waves, and it's kind of pulverized and sucked out of the eye.
Wow.
And then the new lens is reinserted through that.
Through that same incision.
That's right.
That's incredible. Yeah. So the lens itself, does it have to, that you're inserting,
mm-hmm.
does it have to be, it's malleable, it has to
mm-hmm.
be
it's rolled
flexible.
Up. Rolled up so that it can fit through that incision.
Yeah.
And then once it's in the eye, it expands again.
It just pops out.
Yeah.
But then how does the lens attach to the, aren't there little tiny muscles that have to control it?
Good question.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the cataract is like the egg yolk in an egg, and it's inside of a clear baggie.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're very, very carefully opening up that baggie, taking out the cataract or the egg yolk, and that baggie stays. And the lens sits in that same bag.
So as long as the container for the lens is functional, the lens will do whatever it's moved to do, stretched or whatever, right? Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I feel much better now because I know that if this were my situation, I would just come to you and I would trust you to look at me through that bag. Magnificent microscope and apply such craftiness.
Yeah. And I'll mention one more thing. We talked about this a little bit earlier, the technology that allows me to do measurements in the operating room.
Mm.
It's called the Aura. And we're the only practice in this whole area that has it.
Wow.
So
how fortunate are we to have such technologies and to have you there on hand with all of your precision and expertise. You've spent years developing this skill. I don't even want to know how many hours of practice you... And how do you practice? Do you practice in training? You're practicing on cadavers? I mean, how do you...
Well, cadavers, unfortunately, the eye deteriorates when it's... So we usually practice on pig eyes first.
Okay.
And machines and simulations.
Okay.
Wow. But I'll tell you, you know, it's been so rewarding for me coming back home to Tallahassee.
Indeed.
Because sometimes, once in a while, I get to take care of someone who taught me as a student or who, you know, an older person at my church that I went to when I was young. And it's so gratifying that I can give back to them.
Remarkable.
Yeah, you know, it's a real honor.
Wow, folks. Yeah. If you don't love this town, there's just something wrong with you because you got people like Dr. Coe who are just taking care of us. What can I tell you? A pleasure having you with us again. Thank you. Pleasure's mine. Thank you for sharing your insight and your expertise and your understanding and your heart. This is a big-hearted woman. All right. Well, folks, that's what I've got for you this morning. I appreciate you being with us, Dr. Coe. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have you back on another occasion. Folks, stay with me. I got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a National Day of Remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day. Giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Volcar Automotive Service and Sales on Capital Circle Northeast in Tallahassee, Volcar for all cars, call 942-4980. Widen Glass on South Monroe, Tallahassee's first family in glass, call 222-5781. And Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, Tallahassee's market leader for automotive accessories. Call 656-8800.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
April Dennis has served as the program director of Future Problem Solving Program International since 2012. With a background in advanced curriculum strategies and highly engaging learning techniques, April enjoys being part of a student-driven organization designed to promote students as our leaders. April Dennis is our guest this morning. How are you, April?
I'm lovely. Thank you, Brian.
I believe you're in Melbourne this morning. Where are you?
I am. Our Future Problem Solving International headquarters are located here in Melbourne, Florida. We're on the East Coast, just a little bit south of Cape Canaveral.
My goodness. And I trust that, I think I'm not mistaken if I say that you've got this program coming up. You're preparing for something like 2,200 students in a competition. Tell us about that. What's going on?
Absolutely. On June the 7th at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, 2,200 students from Florida and all over the world will be convening as the champions of their local problem-solving competitions, and they will come together in collaboration, camaraderie, and competition to test their problem-solving skills on real-world problems that they have tackled, faced, and researched within their communities.
Okay, and that competition gives them an opportunity to showcase not only what they've done individually, but it gives you an opportunity then to showcase how this program is working among these students. Is that fair?
Absolutely. We have four various components that are offered to students. We have a global issues competition where the students are studying various trending topics that the world is facing. They will be studying and researching the topic of biosecurity. They will come together and they will go through a six-step process to solve that problem. Our community problem solvers have worked year-long on projects within their community that they've identified as an issue. And then they've attempted to solve those problems with community service action, joining with legislators, educating others. We also have a scenario writing team competition where students are joined with three students that they have not previously worked with who have the same skill set that they will tackle a creative story on the topic of biosecurity. We also have a scenario performance competition where the students will creatively storytell a spontaneous reaction to biosecurity. And that's mimicked from the ancient art of storytelling.
Near and dear to my heart, when you talk about storytelling, the work that we do here through our radio show and our magazine and this radio station we call Moose Magnificat is really all about helping other people tell their stories. We find it rewarding, and it brings back to you and I this business of how we engage students in this business of not just reciting facts, but using their intellectual abilities
and their emotional commitment to an idea to solve a problem. So looking through your website, I noticed one of the statements there said that you're less concerned about helping teaching these students to solve a particular problem, but more so interested in helping them develop problem-solving skills. So whatever the problem may be, they are prepared to work through that. This started for you back when you were teaching elementary school, I think. Isn't that right? I mean, your interests go pretty far back in terms of developing kids.
Absolutely. I started teaching in 1995 with a degree in elementary education. I then moved into serving students with advanced learning needs through a gifted student program. And one of the programs at the school where I taught was future problem solving. And that's how I came about learning about it, that when I took this position at the school, the principal said, you know, we have this great program. The students have found tremendous success. We need you to carry on this tradition.
I see.
So I was tasked with future problem solving through the inspiration of a building leader, through my principal, and I had that support as an educator. The groundwork was laid, so I really stepped into a great place to nurture and coach students. I did that for 11 years. My own son and daughter were actually in my class and in the program. So not only have I watched my son for 7 years grow in the program, I was able to see it professionally and personally, which is a really great combination to have on something that benefits students.
Yeah. As an alternate, I mean, I'm getting to know this whole program firsthand, and we've had others before you, people like Vincent Hunt, Francely Moyes, that are presenting alternate educational models. And that's how this strikes me. It seems to me that this is really something that I wouldn't necessarily find being carried out in the average middle school or elementary school program. So I guess I'm asking, how is it that this program is supplemental, or how was it that the program was developed and in that regard? Was it because there was a gap in this kind of thing and sort of the impetus? What got it all started?
Well, actually, the program was developed by Dr. E. Paul Torrence way back in 1974. So we are celebrating our 43rd year this year.
Wow.
Of students solving problems. And the reason Dr. Torrence created this is he was working with a group of high school boys in Georgia and realized they didn't have a scope or a feel for solving problems, creative thinking, outside of their realm of reality. And as the world becomes more global and our students and their thinking and their interactions with others become more global, it is vital that our students have tools to think critically and think creatively on a wide range of topics that we might not even think about now, but will certainly be in their wheelhouse in 20 to 30 years. They're going to be faced with that. So we've got to equip them with strategies rather than simply just knowledge.
And tell us about those strategies. I mean, how do you look at a 15-year-old and say, okay, I need you to think about how the world will be in 15 years, or even in 10 years or 5 years? What's the methodology?
Well, we pull from a wide range of topics. Our topics are voted on, suggested on by coaches, by students, and we look for three different strands. We look for the strands of business and economics, science and technology, and social political strands. So we choose diverse topics on those different strands. Mm. We look for trending items. We consult with futurists. We follow the World Future Society. We're very involved with them. We're very involved the World Gifted, the National Gifted. So that we're getting input from a lot of different resources. And then what we do is, through our problem-solving process, we use creative problem-solving. And what that does is it is a unique combination of that divergent creative thinking and then the convergent thinking on critically looking at things. So we ask students to come up with a big range of broad, diverse, brainstormed ideas, and then we ask them to narrow it down and think critically and identify a big, important one. Then they think broadly again for solutions, and then they converge again. We use a variety of generating tools. These are tools for brainstorming, a variety of those way beyond brainstorming. And then we also teach them tools on how to analyze all those great ideas that they've just thought of and make choices for which ones they think will be the best idea.
It sounds like it's a very collaborative sort of process. It's not individualized as such.
Absolutely. Our world and our careers are very collaborative. Our home lives are very collaborative. So we try to mimic and model that within our teamwork models. Mm. We do, however, also have an individual component, which meets the needs of some students differently. So while most of our activities are very collaborative in nature, we also do have an individual competition, which is very successful for students as well, to meet those individual needs that the different kids have.
We're talking with April Dennis. She is the program director for a program called Future Problem Solving Program International. She's going to stay with us through the break. Thanks for staying with us, April. Folks, you stay right where you are. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983. For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services when you're ready to share your vision. Excite your audience and reach the hearts of your customers. Reach for Rapid Press. Online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with April Dennis. She is the program director for something called Future Problem Solving Program International. Learning about this remarkable program. Tell us about how we can find you. How do we get involved with what you're doing?
Well, the international office has a website, fpspi.org. We also have a Florida website that you can access through there. We have many successful programs within the state of Florida. Some of them have been sparked by superintendents who have found this program and introduced it as an initiative district-wide. Other areas are sparked by teachers and building administrators who believe in the program and the benefits to students. And we have many areas in Florida and around the world where parents have heard about our program, learned about our program, and working with their children, other children, whether it be in their neighborhood schools or, you know, they meet at a library on Saturdays. So what's perfect about our program that solves problems is that those adults who want to get students involved solve problems in getting students involved. So we have lots of different models, lots of different unique ways to get involved.
So there isn't just a single point of entry for any one student. They can really find what best maybe suits them. I have just a couple more technical questions, I'll call them. In terms of the curriculum, then, it sounds like it's pretty adaptable. You know, you can kind of take what materials are available and bring it into the classroom if you're an educator and kind of do that as you did. But then again, you have what sounds like a fully blown program that students could participate in, you know, after school or maybe on the weekends, and it becomes something that they're doing over a period of time, right?
Absolutely. You can take a course in history and see that there's many problems, whether you're analyzing World War II or analyzing the Vietnam situation conflict, all of those had problems. And in English and literature, Romeo and Juliet, there were problems within that piece of literature. If you look at science and the scientific process, you're identifying problems, you're coming up with solutions. So very adaptable to curriculum, but also very independent and self-standing also, if that's what your students need in that.
So they can really adapt again to the, or bring to their particular interests what you're offering in a way that's adaptive. What keeps you involved in this? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. Clearly, you are heart and soul on this deal. Why do you think it's so important that we know about it and that people participate in it?
Well, I personally want to leave the earth, the society, the world in good hands. And if we equip our students with problem-solving skills, we give them tools for creative thinking, we give them tools for critical thinking, they are going to be equipped to handle anything that comes their way. I could teach students a chapter in a history book or a math lesson on parallelograms, but that may or may not transfer to what's going to come their way and what's going to come my way in 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. But I know if they have these skills of problem solving, that they can tackle anything that comes their way.
And in the course of time, I mean, you talked about this starting back in, what was it, 75?
1974.
74. In that time that has passed, have you had those who have gone through the program come back to you as adults, maybe in some professional capacity? Now they're out there crediting this program with a part of their success.
Absolutely. We hear from our alumni all the time. We've had soldiers in Afghanistan give us testimonials. We had someone working on a space mission let us know how she helped with a international space problem that came her way. We have students that work at Facebook, students that are attorneys. Our awards ceremony and our international conference, we have 18 different presenters of awards, and last year they were all alumni that were back volunteering with us, back there to work and evaluate and make this program happen for the next generation of students, to teach them that creative problem-solving model, to teach them those tools for generating, tools for focusing, and those turnkey strategies that can be applied to any situation. Interesting that you mentioned the recovering from the storms. One of our past topics was recovering from natural disasters that the students have studied over the years. Another interesting topic that we always highlight was back from the 80s, and the topic was cashless society. And the students were asked to study, the various pros and cons and possible challenges that would occur if currency wasn't used as widespread. And one of the teams came up with a solution that they would have these cards with a top secret code that they could access to get money or pay for things when they were out and about. So we've historically seen various topics we've studied actually come to fruition and the trends of society. And so it's been really rewarding and
remarkable.
Really interesting to see that happen.
That is remarkable. Yeah, I think now I've got a wallet full of those little cards with secret codes. It's astounding. And I've used every single one of them. Well, my friend, what a marvelous conversation about a marvelous topic. I personally, I mean, this is sort of commentary on my side, but maybe we should make this required training for anybody who purports to want to run for office. You know, if you're going to hold a public position, because honestly, I don't want people to end up in positions of leadership in either a business or in, you know, inside of a community resourced organizations, you know, either their commissioners or their bureau chiefs or whatever they're doing, without a lot of the kind of thinking that you're talking about. Certainly this notion of collaborating over competing, you know, and trying to solve the problem rather than prove one's, you know, validity at a given moment, you know, trying to validate my own existence. So it sounds like a very, very useful program. Congratulations on now, what is that, 40 plus years of success in this, and certainly glad that we've had a chance to get to know you this morning. We want to stay in touch with you as we go forward, and we want to hear about these 2,200 students that are going to be competing in the, I guess, in the week ahead, right?
Absolutely. We can send you a link, and you can watch our recorded videos and see flags from 15 different countries across our stage and
students from nearly
every state in the U.S. there. So it is a rewarding and exhaustingly wonderful a week that we have ahead of us.
Sounds fantastic. We'll let you get on with it. She's the Program Director of Future Problem Solving Program International, has been doing so since 2012. Our guest this morning, April Dennis, everybody. Thank you, April. We'll be in touch with you.
Thank you so much, Brian. It was a pleasure.
Folks, that's what I've got for you today. You stay in touch with us over the weeks ahead, and we'll bring you more of these kinds of conversations with people like April Dennis. It's our pleasure. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truckin' Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truckin' Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.